The first generation walked so that the second could run and the third could fly. Lost somewhere between Buddhist ancestors and Mormon neighbors, between his Lao heritage and the American dream, Kido Kongres Fongsai would find his way home on the football field. Kido began playing in high school before transitioning into the semi-pros. When the team that he was playing on went to default, Kido paid off the debts and found himself at the helm as owner and general manager. Evolving from player to leader, football became more than a game. It became the crucible that forged Kido's character. As he inherits the torch of life from his refugee parents, Kido envisions a future where for his son, the field is only the launching pad.
I always thought my older brother was more athletic than myself, even though he was super smart and athletic, but he didn't get the opportunities that I did just because, you know, my dad was like, nope, you're going to go fishing with me because if we don't fish, we don't eat. So you're fishing, yeah. You know, type of deal. So I did a lot of the things that I did for really just my family, right? If you guys, I sent over some pictures. I wore number 7 because that's what my brother's number was. So I was kind of just honoring him. And then I ended up changing to number 61 because that's the year that my mom was born. So it's like, hey, it was all for the family. But yeah, it was for me too. I don't want to say that it wasn't for me, but you know, I was lucky enough to have a support system later half of my life and my football career. And yeah, so now it's just like for my kids, it's like, I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. I'll support you wherever. Just know there's consequences if you don't go to practice or, hey, you don't get good grades and all that type of stuff. That's still going to be instilled in them. But as far as athletically, I know what it was like to not be able to play because you couldn't afford it. So, hey, I'll worry about the money. Kids, if you were going to do it, right? Like, don't go half-assing it by any means.
All right, hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of C4 Podcast. My name is Coach Chandetka. I'm here with my co-host, John Messina, and we have, if you haven't already, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, our website, Lao American Sports. Like, comment, share, get the word out. If you know anybody, any individual that has an amazing story of adversity, doesn't always have to be an athlete, but if you know of anyone that you would think would be great for our podcast here, please send us a message on Lao American Sports on the Facebook page. All right. So today we have another amazing guest ready to share his story with us. And I'm going to let my co-host, John Messina, introduce him.
Yep. So today we have an exciting guest, Mr. Kido Kongres Fongsai, coming out of Northern Nevada, originally from Salt Lake City. Before we get into that, please do us a favor. Follow our brother podcast, Now in Session. These are our buddies out in Fresno. They're on Spotify, YouTube. You can find them on IG and Facebook. We've been on this podcast journey with them together, so please give their show a follow if you like ours. And with that, we're going to introduce Kido here. Kido is a former football player, coach/team owner. We're very excited. And as Co said, keep those recommendations coming. We appreciate all of the listeners, all of the followers on the social media. This guest came from one of those recommendations, so thank you to the individual that recommended we reach out to Kido and get him on the show because we're excited to tell his story. So with that, Kido, why don't you start from the beginning? Tell us a little bit about what you know of your family origins from Laos and how they came to the U.S.
Yeah, so just going back, I have one older brother. He was born while my parents were escaping Laos and the communists, just like most of the Lao families that are here. My dad and my mom are from northern Laos. My mom's part of the Thai Dam community. So yeah, she ended up leaving with my dad. I want to say late 70s, early 80s. On the way out is when my brother was born. He was born on the border in Nong Khai, Thailand. They moved straight to Salt Lake City, sponsored by the Catholic Church. Unfortunately, I don't know much about my father's side. My father actually passed away when I was 11 years old. But he was a dispatcher in the army, just a hard-nosed working guy, and just like how my mom is. So that's kind of really the background that I know. I'm one of those ones, and you know, all the Lao people know there's the folks that were born back home in the, on the homeland and came over. There's the ones that were born here. So I'm the, my brother was born on the way here. I was born here, and that's kind of where we are. I've got family scattered throughout. I know that, you know, so my last name is Quang Russ Vong Sai. There's a Quang Russ of Vong Sai out in France. So I've got family out in France. That's part of my dad's side. We didn't even know that until social media got a little bit popular. And then my brother was browsing on a Facebook and apparently saw a last name that was similar to ours, reached out, and turns out that that girl's grandma was my dad's great aunt. And that's what's beautiful about the social media. If there's anything that's beautiful about it, especially for folks like us that, that are Laotian, right? So yeah, that's essentially my family background. It's just my brother and myself. I've got a half sister that's still in Laos. Haven't had a chance to go out there. Super duper proud of being Laotian, obviously. Wish I can get back there. Hopefully I can. Just humbled, right? The one thing is when I started looking at you, kind of what you guys are doing, and I, you know, looking at some of the folks that you guys have interviewed in this podcast and people that you guys have featured, I think that's the one thing that really made me excited to hop on this podcast, is just to get the newer generation to hey, don't forget where you came from. Because man, those, our family members, our ancestors are just something else. It's a beautiful thing. It's a, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with the whole family deal.
Good.
Yeah. I'm curious. You said you were sponsored by a Catholic church. Excuse me for being naive here, but isn't Salt Lake City mostly Mormon?
No, that is 100% correct. So I found out about the whole Catholic church and, you know, just kind of digging, right, as you grow older and things like that. When I was younger, like I said, my dad was, well, I was 11 when my dad passed away. I didn't really know much. I've got cousins who are not cousins, right? You know how that goes, the close Lao family that kind of helped my dad and mom come over here. And I just seen in the paperwork that, hey, sponsored by the Catholic church. And that's how I knew. And then I started talking to my mom a little bit and she's like, oh, your dad did all that. I don't know what that means, and da 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 da. And so, but yes, Salt Lake City's, it's all Mormons over there. But yeah, it was a Catholic church that got us to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, wow. And Catholic Family Services sponsored a lot of folks out in Onkai, like my wife and her family. They came, but they came to Illinois originally, but they also would settle people all over the country, like West Valley City. I think they set up a pretty big community there, Catholic Family Services, even though you wouldn't think in Utah, but. Yeah. They kind of have put people all over, and a lot of it was where they could find them jobs and affordable housing and good economies and that, which Utah was kind of booming probably at the time. So that made sense.
Yeah. My sponsors were Lutheran.
Lutheran?
Yeah, Lutheran. Let me ask you this, Keto. Now, I was born in Laos, but I was the youngest, right? And we came over here. I was about 4 years old. I don't know about you, but I was confused because my home was talking about Buddhists. Then I went to school, I'm learning about Jesus, right? And I didn't know, I didn't know, I was confused. You know, I mean, did you feel that way, man? Because like, you know, back home, we're talking about Buddhism and all that stuff. And I'm going to school and they want me to go to church. And I was telling my dad, I don't know. What do you want me to be? You know, so did you feel that way at all?
No, absolutely. Especially in Utah, right? With the Mormon church so big. I mean, literally, they were always, hey, come to church, hey, get baptized, all those things. And, you know, when I was younger, I didn't know any better. I didn't really understand religion just in general, right? Just kind of what the family teaches you, mom and dad and the Buddhists, you know, Buddhism and things like that. But I was just kind of confused. I'll be honest about that. It took me a little bit of time to truly understand the culture and what Buddhism really is and what it could mean to me if I just kind of learn about it and listen and hey, what are the true beliefs? And I can't say I got brainwashed by the Mormon religion, but there was a point there where I kind of went into a deep hole just to learn about that. And then I want to say I was about 20 years old and I was like, all right, hey, look, what religion do I believe in? Or hey, what really kind of fits with me? And It wasn't the Mormon religion. It was more of what I was taught when I was younger. And I had abandoned that for so long, you know, my teenage years, that I didn't know. I mean, it's kind of like what I was talking about as far as, hey, embrace the culture. I grew up here. I was born in, you know, Sandy, Utah, and I didn't know any better. So 7, 8 years old, I was like, oh yeah, I'm an American, la, da, 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 da. I'm USA, everything out, right? There's pictures of me in American flag hat, American. I was so proud to be an American. And I'm not trying to bag on being an American, but I didn't really embrace the Lao culture until I got older. And it's like, man, look at what all the Lao people did to get here, what they had to escape. And once you start to learn about that and educate yourself that in school about it, it's just like, man, we're pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like our parents are awesome. And it was challenging to grow up, I guess, around a bunch of Mormons, because all my close friends were Mormon. You grow up, you turn.
So there was a lot of pressure, right? A lot of peer pressure.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all my friends, right? So it's like, as soon as you're 18, you graduate high school, you go on a 2-year mission, you come back, you get married. And then all the girls you date who are Mormon, all they do is, hey, you date a returned missionary. And so I was kind of going through a little bit of that and what I wanted to do. And, you know, when we talked a little bit more about my football journey, the first school that I was looking at to go even play football at, or thinking about going to play at, was a private Mormon school out in Virginia.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So with that, so you were growing up in Utah, but how did you get into football?
Older brother, and his friends would play sports. I just came to really fall in love with all sports, right? My dad was a big football guy as well. He loved watching John Elway and the Broncos, and that's who my favorite team is. It's because of that. And, you know, they bet on football. I think I hit my first parlay when I was probably 9 years old.
Okay.
5-hour drive to Vegas from Salt Lake City.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, no, John, back in those days, we'd have like, it was like underground. Yeah. It was undercover, man. It was like, there'd be a video store. Like my cousin owned a video store, and like people walk in and like, you know, you go downstairs to the basement, and that's where all the action happened.
I'm not sure
we could say front, back. Up front was all videos.
I'm not sure we could completely say back in those days, but we won't go into that.
Well, yeah, we definitely won't go into that, but no, that's just like Ko was saying. You go to K&K Market to get your rice and your beef jerky and some of that stuff, and then you go in the back and they've got some tickets for lottery and they've got some
There's the guy going
around.
Some
betting.
Yeah. So then you played in high school, I take it? Is that where you started playing?
Yeah. So I think like most Laotian, just Asian folks, immigrants that came here around that time that are my age, right? I turned 40 here in about 3 months, but parents didn't let us play. It was either one, we were way too small, two, it was way too expensive, right? I think Little League football back in Utah, when I was wanting to play, it was like $200. And then if you want to keep your jerseys, another $50. And you know, my mom at the time and my dad, they were working at just like an assembly line medical place, making $7 an hour, working all this overtime just to make it. So as much as I loved football, I didn't really start playing till high school. So my sophomore year, because high school in Utah back then was 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. So yeah, I started playing my sophomore year. And it was the only reason I was able to play is because when you go to high school, the fees aren't as expensive because you can now use waivers and things like that. So I asked my mom, she said, no, she said, you're too small. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Cause my older brother didn't get to do it. My older brother was one of those ones. He's the guy that translates, right? There's that group of folks that are just a little bit older than me that came over, that their job was to translate for the parents, go to school. And that's kind of what he did. And he was never able to play football. So I was like, oh, I don't want to have that regret. So I just started playing and really fell in love with football. I played sports again my whole life, played basketball. The only issue is the white kids got taller. I stayed at about 5'9". And so I decided to go
play. That's still tall for Laotian, 5'9".
Yeah.
This year I'm 5'4", 5'5", man. But I heard the same thing, man, all my life, too small, too small, too small. It's brutal, you know. Especially from family, you know, especially from your own family, from your own mother. Of all the people that you want to believe in you, it would be your parents, you know, would be your siblings, your family. So that's but I can understand being old now. I can understand, you know, I mean, we are small compared to, you know, the other kids.
There's a big, huge Pacific Islander, Samoans and Tongans in Utah too. And those guys are huge, right?
Yeah.
So when you watch football, and my mom is barely 5 foot, and she sees these big kids. She's like, "You're gonna go play with them?" She's like, "No, what if you get hurt? I can't afford to take you to the hospital." So that was kind of the drawback. But when I started playing, I actually, I didn't know much, right? I didn't know anything about football. So I just kind of, learned, and then had an opportunity really the end of my sophomore year. I kind of just sat the bench, I'll be honest with you. Learning, didn't know anything, was thinking about quitting. And then all of a sudden I was able to start the last two games, had a huge breakout game. And that kind of really kind of made me, all right, hey, I can do this. I can do this just like these kids that's been playing their whole lives. And so, yeah, that's kind of how my football journey started, was just really throughout school, so high school.
What position did you play?
So I was a receiver and a cornerback. So I played corner my sophomore year, my junior year, and then my junior year actually played free safety. I'm sorry. And then they moved me to corner. I was kind of the lockdown cornerback on defense my senior year.
Yeah. Did you have much family support? Because, like you'll see all the other people with their families at the game. Of course, all your dad had passed, but was your mom or any aunts or uncles coming to your games and supporting you, or were you out there on your own in high school?
It was my brother, right? So my older brother, he, tried to fill that void of dad at times. That made us butt heads, but he was always there to support. He was the one that kind of taught me, he's the guy that's throwing the ball at me. He's the guy that goes out there and pushes me and, gives me crap when I'm doing bad, talks that smack, but it's all motivating, right? It's all out of love. Maybe at the time I didn't know that, but he's kind of been through this whole journey of sports with me all the way till I finished playing. So my mom was, not that she was absent. She doesn't know, right? She didn't know anything about the sport. Hey, when it was time for senior night, absolutely she was there. Things like that. It wasn't until later on when I was playing in semi-pro, probably around like 2010, 2011, where my mom would just come to games. And I think she felt guilty in a way that, hey, I didn't realize he was so big. And it took my great aunt, Scott Fadevong's mom, to actually move into Utah for a little bit. And, tell my mom, like, hey, this is how the game goes. She was kind of that in because of what Scotty and Kenny and those guys were doing up in Des Moines, right? So it definitely helped me out with my mom for her to go and kind of check out what football was all about.
Yeah, so we didn't mention that at the beginning. Scott Fadevong, Episode 2, member of the Lao American Sports Hall of Fame, pro football player, is Keto's cousin. So it's obviously in the blood. And
don't forget
he
KP.
Had the,
Don't forget KP.
Yeah, well, yeah, KP didn't play football. Well, he did in high school.
They know he's their cousin. He's his cousin.
KP, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he mentioned Kenny. Scott's other brother was a track runner at Iowa State, right? So, yeah, very athletic family. No doubt, man.
I have not seen those guys for years, but, yeah, we always kept in touch just through our parents and stuff, and definitely proud of those guys, and they kind of, paved the way as well, right? Scott killed it, man. Just kind of following at Drake, and from high school to Drake to what he was doing in Germany was awesome. And I was kind of doing my own thing out here too, so it was cool to see that for sure.
Yeah, they're an awesome family. So then post high school, let's walk into that. You mentioned talking to colleges, and then kind of we know you got into semi pro, but walk us through that.
Yeah, so in high school, post high school, right? I did the football thing, and then I just didn't realize, I didn't know if I was big enough. Some of it was I was hanging out with the wrong crowds there for a little bit, so it's not like the coaches were pushing me to go anywhere. So a lot of my, I guess, recruitment, or back in the day when you get letters, is, hey, you got a VHS to VHS to send over and things like that. So I didn't get recruited by any means. I got a few letters just like, hey, come check us out, come walk on, type of deal. And I was stubborn, right? I thought I was better than I was. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I don't need to do that. And I was also playing volleyball in high school. So I turned my focus to volleyball, and I had actually been invited to go try out at Dallas Baptist University and the University of La Vernon in California. But again, I'm 5'9", 5'10", and I was a hitter. And they're like, hey, you got to go be a setter. And I can't set as well as I can hit when it comes to volleyball. So after high school, it was just kind of like, all right, hey, what do you want to do? And so I still wanted to play football. And so it was really just kind of looking for any type of football that I could play around home. And Fortunately, around that time, there was two leagues, right? And they were both considered semi-pro. There was the Utah Indoor Football League that played 8-on-8 indoor. And then there was the Rocky Mountain Football League. So this is about 2 years after I graduated is when I decided to reach out to some of these teams and like, hey, let me come try out, let me play. And it was kind of like the reset in the journey. First few years didn't get to play, and then once I got to play, I was able to capitalize and do some things on the field to get on the field and stay on the field. So, yeah, I mean that's really how it all started. It was just like, hey, man, I miss football. I miss the hitting people, the camaraderie, the brotherhood, things like that. And that's how I got in there. So I started playing in the Utah Indoor Football League. Played for 1 year. Like I said, didn't play much. The next year, hopped on a different team, able to earn a spot. And the way it worked in Utah was the indoor league was in the fall, winter, and then the spring league was outdoor 11-on-11, the regular football. That was kind of a between May, April to July type of deal. And that's how I got into it. So we ended up, I want to say I started in 2004, 2005 played, and then 2006, the team that I played on, this is how I became an owner, is the guy that was running the team, unfortunately, he kind of walked out on us. He just didn't show up. The league came to myself and the coaches and was like, hey guys, if you guys don't pay this up for the field and the officials and things like that, you guys are done. And we were undefeated at the time. I think we were like 5-0 or something when they came and told us. And I was like, no way. Like, there is no done. So myself and a couple of the friends, we obviously, chipped in the money to pay for everything. And I became the GM and kind of just took over the team. And I guess the rest is kind of history from there. We ended up rebranding the next year just to eliminate ourselves from the previous owner, just because he's the one who thought of that name. And we rebranded, and then we became one of the more premier teams in the Rocky Mountain Football League.
Wow.
So,
how
what
old
was
were you?
the what was the original name? Then, what did you change it to? Just
So
curious.
we were the Camas Valley Mud Dogs in 2005, 2006, and 2007. 2006 was when the owner left, and in 2007 I took over. And then as a group, we're just like, hey, we got to change up. We got to kind of build our own brand new identity. And then that's when we became the Utah Shock.
Utah, what was it?
Shock.
Shock.
Shock. Okay.
Yeah,
Utah Shock.
Shock. So
Okay.
you were like
Yeah.
25-ish when you took ownership, right, of this team? Somewhere around that age? Pretty young.
Yeah. A little bit younger. It was actually, it's kind of weird. The Salt Lake newspaper actually reached out to me because they had heard that I was so young that I was taking over this semi-pro team. And so it was definitely a challenge because as the GM, right, you're in charge of the whole team, making sure you get uniforms, scheduling the officials, booking the fields, going to the team meetings, the league meetings and such. And it was a lot for me because it's not like I was making a bunch of money. I was just working like at a call center, right? So all the money I was making was, all right, hey, I'm going to save this for the team. And oh, hey, I'm going to get a brand new helmet type of deal. So it was definitely humbling at times. I probably spent more money than I probably should have on football, but I just loved it so much. And I mean, I couldn't stop. That's part of my issue is I just couldn't stop playing.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty cool. So tell
Well,
us, I mean, well, go ahead, Co.
did you play too, or like once you became like the owner, you were just owner, or were you owner and playing a little bit still?
I was owner player the whole time. So
Oh, okay.
from
Cool.
when I started playing in 04 until I stepped away in 2015 for a year just to kind of work on personal life, get married, things like that. So I actually ended up selling the team for 1 year, and then I acquired it back in 2017, and that was kind of our last year before we kind of just decided to all hang it up because most of the folks on my team, we were all around the same age. And so by the time it got to like 2016, 2017, where we were getting married, starting families, things like that, and kind of just like, hey, it's time to go, right? And no one wanted to run the team either. And it didn't help
So,
that I moved too. So
yeah.
What was that? What was going on?
I moved.
Oh, okay. So
Yeah.
you had a
So
pretty good, like, you had 10 years, at least 10 plus years as an owner player, huh? That's a very long, it's a long career, you know, plus the years before that. If you go all the way back to high school, you had a pretty, for a physical sport, man, that's a good amount of years.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Definitely a lot of years. I'm definitely feeling it now. But
any major injuries?
No. Funny thing is, the most serious injury that I've ever had playing any sport was it was during football season. I got hurt playing slow pitch softball.
Oh man. Yeah.
I was going from first to second and I was sliding and the cutoff guy missed the ball and it hit my face and I fractured my orbital bone in three spots. So that's the biggest injury that I've had, luckily. So,
well, I was a bodybuilder and, you know, like 650 pound squat, you know, like 550 deadlift, never had any injuries in bodybuilding or in the gym. One day I was stepping out of a van and I stepped backwards and I twisted my left knee.
Well, that's the way it goes.
So, that's how it goes sometimes.
So what were some of your proudest moments and some of the cool things you did when you took over the team and rebranded it and got it back to greatness?
I think my proudest moment was, so being semi-pro in the Rocky Mountain Football League, right? The Rocky Mountain Football League stretched across. So it's teams in Utah, a couple teams in Colorado, one team in Wyoming, a few teams in Idaho, a few teams in Montana, one in Nevada. And then one that was, it was an Idaho team, but they played in Oregon, just right on the border. And I think in New Columbia, I believe is what it's called. You didn't lose eligibility for college, right? So we were able to get some young folks that kind of the same deal as me, that, hey, we didn't get looked at, overlooked, things like that. And I was able to, I guess it wasn't just me, but the team was able to send three folks to college because of the film that they had just in the semi-pro league. So super duper proud of that. Three guys to college, Southern Utah, Mesa Community, Southern Virginia. That's the kid that went to Southern Virginia. He's a head coach at Greensboro College in North Carolina now. Wow. Colton Cook was an all American kicker at Southern Utah. And then I had two guys, Bryce Kennington and Matt Thornton, who got pro contracts in it's a defunct league now. It's the American Indoor Football Association. So they got professional contracts to go play professional for a couple of years, which was definitely super, super duper something to be proud of. And you just myself and the team. So
nice.
I think those are probably the most proud. I mean, obviously the relationships gained is definitely something that I'm proud of. Most of my close friends, I met him on the football field, right? The guy who married my wife and I met him on the football field. He played on my team. My best friend, same deal. It kind of just opened this other avenue of really of a network for myself that has turned into long-term friends. So a lot of friends of mine now, again, 20, 25 years we've known each other, and it's all because of football. So I'm really grateful.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing, yeah, especially when you mentioned the camaraderie. You know, the brotherhood of teams. Now, me, I didn't want team sports. Like, I wanted all the glory, and I'll take all the, you know, I'll take all the failures and all that. So, being a bodybuilder, there wasn't. It was cutthroat, man. You didn't have any friends. And the friends, sad to say, the friends that I did have, a lot of them are dead, you know. So, it's looking back at it, man. It's bodybuilding, I'll be honest with you, man. There are a lot of drugs involved. And guys were dying young, you know. It was it's very extreme, all or nothing, you know. Dying young, you know, living large, dying in a, you know, living. It was a living large and dying in a bigger coffin. You know that the people would joke about that. You know, oh, wow. And I was like, it's sad. You know, it's sad. But I wish I would have had that. But bodybuilding is not. It's a one-on-one. You know, it's an individual sport. You know, but I love what you said about. Man, knowing friends, your friends are 25, you know, 25 plus years because of football, and that's cool.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what kind of football provided for me, is just kind of an outlet, right? Like, you know, when we talk about, you know, being Laotian growing up, it was tough in the sense that, you know, it was new for all of us that are a little bit older now. We didn't know any better, and we kind of just went with whatever school was teaching us. And I'm not saying what school was teaching was necessarily wrong. We just didn't know. And our parents didn't know. Right. Our parents mm-hmm. like, oh, they're send us to school. So we go to school, and then for us to develop these skills and, you know, these desires to be athletes or to be scholars or whatever, it was all new for us. And even the kids that got into the wrong things at times, right, whether that was, you know, drugs or gangs or whatnot, it was all learning experience. I think most of us are better for it. I can't say that I was fortunate, but when my dad passed away, my mom kind of pulled me away from that. I always joke around. I say, oh, I mean, I was whitewashed. I just hung out with the white kids all the time because I'll see a bunch of Laotian people now and they'll be like, oh, hey, bang, da, da, and I'm like, I remember you. I'm sorry. I just haven't seen you for so long. But, yeah. You know, I escaped through sports, and I'm grateful for that because, you know, my mom worked her butt off to let me do those things. And, you know, I'm in a better place because of it. So.
Yeah. Scott kind of had a similar story in that his parents also were not supportive initially. They were the huge, biggest fans by the end. Right. But they, you know, thought he was going to get hurt. Right. It's a brutal sport and didn't understand the value, I think, of it. Probably like maybe your mom initially of there's value in sports beyond just a game and having fun, right? A lot of times people come from other countries trying to adapt. They're thinking about making money, going to school. These are like where the priorities are, right? These extracurriculars, right, are, you know, maybe they don't quite understand how what you do learn from them, right? The teamwork, it keeps you focused on something positive instead of going to the negatives, all those intangibles about sports, you know?
No, for sure. For 100%, right? And, you know, for me, it's like, hey, our parents walked so we could jog. We jog so the next generation can run, and hopefully our kids can run so that the next generation can fly. I'm super proud of the folks that, you know, I've seen on the site, and some of those guys that are out that are Lao. You got the long last name in the back. I know what that was like. My three letters got cut off of my jersey in high school. So to see that, it's like, man. I just don't want them to forget, hey, where their parents and grandparents came from. We're kind of that being the parent age that we kind of gave them a better outlook because we had to deal with the parents that said no. So it's come a long way, and there's a lot of talented Laotian people out there that I'm just super proud of. And, you know, whoever watches this, man, just know that us older guys, OGs and the other OGs, we're super proud of them. It's
amazing. Yeah, for sure. There's some amazing athletes, man, that sometimes we showcase them on our Facebook page, and man, like football players, wrestlers, you know, cheerleaders, you know, MMA fighters, you know. It's like, it's crazy, man, you know. It's like, and I don't know if you're familiar with, but John, you know, his daughter went to compete in the SEA Games, right, John? And like last mm-hmm. year in Cambodia, and next year it's going to be in Thailand. And there's a group of athletes that, you know, John and Nara are working, you know, with to bring over, you know, to the SEA Games next year. So for them to go back and to find their heritage too, you know, so they're born here, they're Laotian, they're Laotian American, but then get a chance to go home and represent the home country, man. I would have killed for that. When I was in my prime, I would have killed to go home and represent.
Yeah, and it's like that country, generation, right? Yeah. So like your kids, like my kids, they're even more disconnected than you guys because, I mean, they were born here. They only have one parent that's even Lao, right? Yeah. But doesn't even speak to them in a lot of cases, like my daughter. And so for her to go back, though, to this country, right, and compete alongside the local athletes was like a whole awakening and, you know, exposure to a side that she didn't know she really had, right? She, you know, go to the temple and go to grandma's house and whatever. But it just connected that whole group that we brought over there completely through sports. And sports are what brought everybody together. You know, that was the cool thing about it. So you hung up your hat as a semi-pro football player and owner, but you didn't give up football, right? You just can't get away. So tell us what you're doing now with your coaching and so forth.
Yeah. So I moved from Salt Lake to Elko, Nevada back in 2012. And so for about 4 years there, I was doing the like traveling back and forth by car, right? It's a 3-hour drive just to Salt Lake. But then if we had games in Montana and things like that, I would still travel up there, whether that was driving or by plane. And it started to take a toll on me, really, my pockets, right? I couldn't afford it, man. I'll be honest. Yeah. And so, you know, I met my wife out here in Elko, and when I quit, she was just kind of like, man, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you're just always just like, and it was just I just love sports so much. I mean, I'm that guy that I watch ESPN every day just because it doesn't matter what's on. I'll watch SportsCenter even when it recycles. And, you know, she was just like, well, why don't you, you know, go out and coach or something, go play again. I was like, well, I can't play. I don't want to play again. I do, but I don't, right? Because being 39 playing against these 22-year-olds, I'm really going to blow something out. But so, yeah, I hopped on to Little League coaching team here. So I coached Little League out in Elko for 6 years. And it took care of that competitive itch in a different way. Now, yeah, now you have to translate, you know, to kids what you want them to do rather than articulating yourself and going and doing it. And then I also, you know, from what I learned from playing is – how kids are these days are not how necessarily we were. So the whole yelling and the military style, screaming, coaching, stuff like that, I decided that, hey, that's not me. I didn't respond well to it. So I'm going to be that one that kind of listens like, hey, and not necessarily be friends with the kid, but be someone that they can talk to and trust. And then, hey, here's what happened this game when I did this. And then this is why we do this, kind of just give them that vision. And that's what I did for 6 years. And then I went up to the high school ranks, coached at Elko High School for 3 years. I was the offensive coordinator for the JV team there. And now last year I went to the other high school that's in town. It's called Spring Creek. And I'm on the varsity staff there helping out with the wide receivers and DBs and also helping out with the offense. So I can't get enough of it. I don't know if I ever will. My wife is just like, she knows, right? When we got married, that was one of the things in their vows. Like, I'm going to support you through all your football because I know that's going to be a thing. So that's kind of what it is. I got a 2-year-old, so I'm probably going to be doing that till he's old enough to do whatever he's going to do. And from there, I'll probably go coach him on whatever he wants to do, whatever it is, whether it's football or whatever.
Hey, man, you're playing it. You're managing it. You're coaching it. There are a lot of Laotian guys, and their wife would be complaining that all they do is, you know, gamble on football. Okay, so trust me, you're doing a lot more, man. There's Laotian women out there who just get upset at their husbands because when it's football season, all the money is going into gambling away. You know, so
yeah, I still gamble on it every now and then, but not as much. I mean, living in Nevada, I can just go to the casino, right? There's casinos out here that I can just go and gamble, get the app on it. But no, I just got to be around it. It's kind of weird. So my older brother was he was an athlete as well, but he didn't get to play all the sports, right? Like I was saying earlier, and he was like the smart one. He's the one that is I hate to say it, but the stereotypical Asian. He's getting straight A's, getting scholarship offers when he's junior in high school type of deal. He's really smart at math. I just never, not that I didn't care about it, it just never resonated with me like football. We didn't even realize this, my brother and I, until later on, where the way he looks at math problems is the way I look at football. Like I'm looking, I'm going, oh man, they're running a cover two here, da da, and I'm just reading everything. He's like, well, how do you know? I'm like, I don't know. How do you know that X plus Y equals Z3 or whatever that is, right? And so I just have a different, I guess, look into football. And that's just because I just love it so much. I love everything about it. I think it's just a big, huge human chess game. And I just love competing. It's definitely awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. So speaking of I know he's only two, but are you going to encourage him to go into football? Are you going to discourage him? Or are you just going to kind of let him find his own path?
Him find his own path. So I got a 2-year-old and my stepdaughter's 13. She plays soccer right now. And it's, hey, whatever makes you happy, right? Since he was born a few years ago, my whole like perspective on life is like, hey, I'm living my life for him. I'm living my life for my wife and my family, and you know, want to make my mom proud. But at the same time, I just want to be a role model for my son and my kids. Far as football, if that's what he wants to do, sweet. If that's not what he wants to do, I'm just afraid. I'm 5'9". My wife's 5'2". He's probably going to be 5'4", 5'5". He'll be fast, but I don't know how big he's going to be.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. Hey, sorry, I cut out for a little bit, man. I don't know. Just kind of lost connection. I had to re-sign back in.
We interviewed a basketball player a couple weeks ago, Jose Uchentavong, he's like 6'2", 6'3", and both his parents are short. So you never know, right? So.
And that's the thing is I've noticed a lot of us. So there's a Lao kid that plays basketball. I think he just graduated in Utah, and I knew his I grew up with his parents, right? And yeah, he's 6'1" and super duper fast. And I was like, wait a second, these kids. Yep. I say it's the food, right? I mean, you think about homeland food compared to the food out here. It's just kind of evolution and all that type of stuff. So it's crazy. It's crazy to see some of these kids and just how big they are and just how healthy they are. And it's awesome. Super duper awesome.
Yeah, so definitely cool. The environment.
Yeah. So what's the future hold for you, man? Think you're going to stay hanging out in football, or what are your long-term plans, Keto?
You know, as far as football goes, it's just coach until, hey, things are going to take me away again. When my son's going to be old enough to play sports, he probably won't play football when he's 5 years old. Right. He might play flag. He might play soccer. So as long as football doesn't take me away from the family, that's really the next steps for me is, just being around the family. That's what matters the most. I think that's the one thing that my mom has always instilled in me is, hey, you can do whatever you want, but just make sure that you take care of your family. You talk to your brother, take care of your niece, things like that. And that's really the most important thing for me is just to be around. And losing my dad and younger as well, right? Like, hey, I want to be there and I want to see my son graduate high school and do those things. And I want to be around for that. So really, as far as football goes, hey, it was a priority for so long. It's definitely not a priority now. And that's part of the reason why I quit is when I moved for a job, right? So I wanted to start a career and be able to make money so then I can get married and have a family. Now I'm married, have a kid and all that stuff. So really it's just being happy, just enjoying life and cheering on the next generation because there's some talent out there for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. We appreciate you telling your story, you know, folks. So these are the kind of stories we like to tell. Regular people. You see that guy coaching on the sidelines Friday nights? There's a story behind everybody. We wanted to give Keto the opportunity to tell his co. Anything before we wrap up?
Hey, you know, with the, you know, invention of YouTube, would we be able to search Utah Shock on YouTube and find any type of footage of the games and all that, anything like that at all? Of the games were videoed or broadcast?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, again, it's been a while, but I'm assuming if you go search Utah Shock, I know my old highlight video is still on there. Some of my Little League kids went and found that from like 2011.
Okay, we search your name. We search your name, we can find you, huh?
Yeah, you'll search my name. I had a highlight video that I had made to go play in the league that Scott played in, but I decided not to go. So, there should be. I mean, I'm assuming there's some stuff out there. I know that I think there's a game that I didn't play in. It was the year that I was actually off, but we were able to schedule a game against Snow College. It was a JUCO. So we played against a JUCO team. So
that's pretty cool. Okay. All right, folks. Well, that's another wrap of another episode. Keto, thanks so much for coming on. Go.
Yeah. Hey. Really enjoyed the interview, man. That was some really good stuff I heard from you. So, all right, guys. That's another episode of C4 Podcast. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share. And until next time.
The C4 Podcast is brought to you by the Lao American Sports Hall of Fame. Visit us on the web at LaoAmericanSports.com, celebrating the first, inspiring the next.